We'll be looking at two passages, Exodus chapter 20, and then we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 12. We won't be looking at a lot of scripture this evening. I'll reference some, and then you can just jot them down. I would just recommend between this morning and this evening, we're trying to cover our thought for the month, and that is in the area of integrity, to be content. And so this morning, we were trying to look at that idea of what does it mean to learn to be content, looking biblically. And then we skipped over one of the enemies of contentment, and that is covetousness. And that's what we're going to look at and consider this evening. C.H. Spurgeon said this, "Of all dust, the worst for the eyes is gold dust." It seems to have issues there. There was a comic many years ago that showed a monk, and he was putting up a sign on the church's outdoor sign while another monk watched along. And the sign read, "Thou shalt not covet." And the visiting monk said to the other one, he's like, "Boy, I wish we had a signboard like that one at our church." Covetousness, it's one of those sins that the saints have sanitized. We say it's okay. You know, it's okay to covet. In fact, even that's one thing that the pornographers say. The pornographers have come up with that well, it's okay to look but not to touch. Guess what that is? According to Christ, that's covetousness. All right, it's covetousness. Looking on another woman, even in your heart, all right, is sin. You may not know what the word sanitize means, but if you were to look it up in any reliable dictionary, you would find a definition something like the following. To make more acceptable by the removing of that which is unpleasant or desirable in features. And that's what we've done as Christians regarding certain sins. We've all taken, in the area of covetousness, we've taken the verse, 1 Corinthians 10:24, way out of context. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. All right, and some of you are like, yeah, finally, that's biblical. All right, but that's way out of context. There's a song in our hymn book written by Fanny Crosby. The title is "Take the World, But Give Me Jesus." The first verse says this, "Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but his love abideth ever through eternal years the same." But I think a lot of us have substituted our own wording to that. And we sing, "Take the cross, but give me moolah. I can't live in catacombs. I don't mind talking spiritual, but I have to have my smartphone." All right. Some of us, we say things spiritually, like, oh, yeah, you know what, but when it comes down to it, I think a lot of us have a covetous heart. This sin that we've sanitized, they're internal, and that's what the sin of covetousness is. Christ warns concerning covetousness. He says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." That's the one passage in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Covetousness has been called the mother of all sins because the desire to sin first arises in the heart before it finds expression in the act. Covetousness may not appear as bad as some other more outward sins, but in fact it is one of the worst sins because it spawns many other sins. Covetousness has been called, as we said, the mother of all sins. Some that study the Ten Commandments say that the first and the ten are the core internal commandments because the others circle around it. And so this evening, I want to just look at a couple of things in regards to this enemy of being content, and that is the sin of covetousness. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us. As we consider in our lives, I pray that you would help us to consider the Word of God. Let the Word of God do its work. Let it do what I cannot do, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So first of all, I want to look at the source of covetousness. Covetousness is a real problem in our society. The Bible even declares that in the last days, in the perilous times, if you remember this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 3, right in the list was, and one of the signs is covetousness. And if there's one thing that could describe our nation, it is covetous. It's covetous. Remember, I used it in that update, that video update. Remember, John Rockefeller was asked, so how many more dollars would it take to make you content? And he said, one more. Because that's exactly, here he was, a multi-millionaire. At the time, they list the four guys. He was one of the four men that was the richest in the world, in America, but in the world. But $1 more. And it's always that way. It always is that way. That's this covetousness. Covetousness is a major problem. So where does covetousness spring from? Well, first of all, look at Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. I read that one in Luke chapter 12, but we'll come back to that. Mark chapter 7. So in Mark chapter 7, Jesus is talking here. And you notice in verse 14, and when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, everyone, you and understand. Look at what he says. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. Remember, this was in contrast because the Pharisees were saying, hey, there's something wrong with your disciples. They didn't wash their hands before they ate that corn on the cob. I mean, there's something wrong with them. And he was telling them, hey, you know what? I understand that. You know, I've been on the airplanes. I've gone to school. And now even Dr. Fauci, wash your hands. Wash your hands. I'm glad that they remind me of that often. Even at Joel, when you're walking through, I'm so glad that I'm going to pick up the Keurig pods there. And they're like, remember, wash your hands. Thank you. I didn't know that. I never had a clue. You know what? I'm so glad when all this is done that I can go back to like just playing outside, using the restroom and just walking out and never washing my hands again. You know what I mean? It's just all right. Yeah. Some of us are like, oh, that. All right. But actually, we all learned that at 5 years old. I didn't need some 80-year-old geezer that needs to be in an assisted living place to tell me that you should wash your hands. All right, but in Mark chapter 7 here, that was a little side sermon, in verse 16, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 17, and when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever things from within entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Or from without, sorry. Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, goeth out into the drought, purging all means. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. So here's the two verses that he says, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts. What's the next one? Covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. What's the source of covetousness? First of all, it comes from a selfish heart. It comes from a selfish heart. We see this displayed to us even in the list of Ten Commandments. So now, you don't have to turn there, but most of us know this in Exodus chapter 20. So I'm going to turn there. And it says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So that's the first commandment. The tenth commandment is, way down, verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant. So here is, thou shalt have no other gods. And thou shalt not covet. You'd say, wait a minute, how are those tied together? The Apostle Paul in the New Testament tied those together for us in Colossians 3. He says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is, guess what? Idolatry. The Apostle Paul says that Commandment 1 and Commandment 10 are tied together because they are a heart issue. The heart is where you decide who you're going to worship. The heart is where you decide who you're going to bow down to. And that's why covetousness is idolatry, because guess what? You're saying that God, ultimately, you're saying that God can't take care of me. He can't supply my need. It comes from the heart. It comes from a selfish heart. Covetousness comes from a heart that is selfishly motivated. One man said this, the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. And that is the problem. Man is self-centered. Man is seeking to satisfy himself. There's an example in the New Testament. And in the New Testament, remember Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5 and verse 3. I'm just going to turn there quickly because it's just interesting what the disciples said. So here, and Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled, guess what, thine heart? Later in the text in verse 4, while it remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine, guess what, heart? The source of covetousness is a selfish heart. It's, I've got to have this. It is mine. I deserve it. God's not taking care of me, and so I'm going to go out and grab this. Comes from a selfish heart. Secondly, in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, Jesus is talking about, take heed and beware of, guess what? Covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And then he goes and tells the story, the parable of the rich man. And this is the conclusion in verse 21. All right, in verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What's the second source of covetousness? The first is from a selfish heart. Second, it comes from spiritual blindness. A covetous person is so taken up with this life that he loses sight of eternal life. And that's what sometimes happens to you and I. We get so wrapped up in this world that it's always about another dollar. It's always about another vacation. It's always about another car. It's always about another project. And you know what? We should rejoice when God gives us those things. But my eyes cannot be set on this world, on the temporal things. It's always on the eternal. And that's what Christ was saying. Christ was saying, take heed and beware of covetousness, because all of a sudden, even as a Christian, you start thinking that this is the life that matters and not the next life. Is there an example of that? Yes. There's a man named Solomon who wrote a book called Ecclesiastes. If you want to turn there, you can or you can't. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, it says in verse 9, moreover, the prophet of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. And this is what he says in verse 10. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. Do you hear? The richest man in the world. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. Nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. Then at the end of Ecclesiastes, he says this in chapter 12 and verse 8. Vanity of vanity. So what does that mean? As I joke about, that's not talking about your bathroom sink and mirror unit. Right? It's saying it's just emptiness. Everything's emptiness. Saith the preacher, all is empty. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. And that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads. That word goads is something that they would prod people with. So the words of wise people or the scriptures are goads, and they push me towards good things. Further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. We all know that. So let us hear the whole conclusion, or the conclusion of the whole matter. So now he wraps it all up. Here's the wisest man. He says, you know what? If you're loving silver, it's not going to satisfy you. Lots of abundance, it's going to be vanity. So what does he say the conclusion is? Fear God. Keep the whole command, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment. What is he telling you to do? When is judgment? The next life. So what does the wisest man tell you? According to Christ, he said Solomon was the wisest man. He says, don't just think about right here. Comes from spiritual blindness. That's the source of covetousness. So what is the snare of covetousness or the enslavement that it brings? Well, I thought of three different areas that covetousness stifles us. It has the power to cheat us. Covetousness does. We can be so misled by the possessions or things that we don't even recognize when we are committing this sin. It's very deceitful. It cheats us. It scams us. A pastor who had been in ministry for a dozen years or so testified to this. This is what he said. He had been, and then I read of some guys many hundreds of years ago, a man that had been in the ministry for over 50 years, and he said basically the same thing. In all my years of ministry, I've never had anyone confess to me the sin of covetousness. I've never had anyone own up to the sin of covetousness. Now, I can say, all right, and I thank the Lord, we preached on it a few times, and I've actually had people come and say that God convicted me of it. That covetousness or possessions, things had grabbed a hold of them. And that God had worked them over and released that grip. I praise the Lord for that. Things have a way of deceiving us and blinding us. That's why Paul in 1 Thessalonians, and I'll turn there quickly, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul says this, for neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. You say, wait a minute. Why would he say a cloak? What is a cloak? It's something that basically covers, it deceives. He's using a word picture for you and I, the Apostle Paul. He's saying that covetousness has the ability to come in and look like something else. Because you know what you can say? Oh, you know what? God, no, I'm not grabby. God wants me to make a lot of money so that I can give. Really? Really? So that's why you've got to have everything. And that's why you got to have a bigger house and a bigger house. Yeah, I'm just trying to be a channel. You know that song? Make me a channel of blessing, dear Lord. Help me to make more money, lots of it, Lord. All right, and fill up my pockets with lots of $100 bills. Because, Lord, sometime I'm going to think about you. All right? No, you just want, and you cover it up. It's a cloak of covetousness. We need to be careful that it doesn't grab your heart, and all of a sudden you have some ridiculous statement that you're saying, well, you know what, I just am a channel of blessing. Also, how many people have been saved because of your channel of blessing? How many people are led to the Lord because of your channel of blessing? You need to be careful. And I understand, God does bless. You can see that. We're not saying that money is wrong, but covetousness is. And it's all through Scripture. So one, what is the snare of covetousness or the enslavement? It has the power to cheat us. Secondly, it has the power to control us. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is the classic passage on money. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In fact, Paul prefaces it with contentment. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich. Right? Notice they that will be. You notice that? Doesn't that sound like a desire? Isn't that a desire there? So that's covetousness. Right? That's the idea. The Hebrew word for covet literally is desire. So it's desiring this. So they that will be is that covetousness. And there are some good things that we should desire. In fact, the Apostle Paul in Timothy said, he that desireth the office of a bishop, guess what word that is? Covet. Desire. So that's what my challenge at the end is going to even be to young people, old people. You know what God says? Desire. Even desire to be in the ministry. That's a good thing. Desire God first. That's a good thing. But desiring, man, that I've got to have all the money in the world. That's actually in here. But they that will be rich fall into what? Temptation, a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some, notice, coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, what should we do? Flee these things. Follow. That's that. Follow. So those that are desiring or following after riches, that's covetousness. But instead, don't follow or covet that. Follow after what? Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. And I believe verse 12 goes right with the context. This will not come easy. So fight the good fight. It's not going to be easy to do that because your carnal man is covetous. He's covetous. So here it has the power to control us. The love of money is the root of all evil. Covetousness can cause a man to break all the other commandments. It's the mother of all sins. If allowed, covetousness, if unchecked, it will soon master us. We fall prey to its force, seem to have little power to overcome it. A.W. Tozer, in a book entitled I Talk Back to the Devil, says the following. Money often comes between men and God. Someone has said that you can take two small 10-cent pieces. We would know these as dimes. He said you take two dimes and you can shut out the view of a panoramic landscape. He said, go to the mountains and hold two dimes up closely in front of your eyes. The mountains are still there, but you can't see them because there is a dime shutting off the vision in each eye. And this is his conclusion. A.W. Tozer says, it doesn't take a lot of money to stop you seeing God. It doesn't. It's amazing how little bit of money makes us stop seeing godliness. What is the snare of covetousness? It has the power to control us. It has the power to cheat us. And then, thirdly, it has the power to crush us. You'd say, wow, man, this is pretty depressing. Well, that's why I'm trying to say, stay away from the sin of covetousness. A story is told about a peasant. He murmured, and this is many years, this is during the days that you, I think it's in Europe, you know, they had, you know, the peasants, the serfs, and they had the great landowners. They had the dukes and the lords. All right. And so there was a peasant, and he always murmured and complained to a giant landowner of the unfairness of the whole system. The giant landowner had much, even too much. And the peasant would say, and I have nothing. So the landowner, kind of knowing the peasant's inclination, promised to give the peasant all the land he could walk around in a whole day. All of it. The peasant was like, oh, he got up early the next morning, greedily thinking about it. And he tried to take all the area. In fact, he started running because he's like, you know what? I think I can cover more and more and more. And greedily, man, he was like, this is unbelievable. Every bit that I can circle with my feet. By the end, he overexerted himself. And he dropped dead with a heart attack. He ended up with nothing. Now, it's a silly illustration, but it demonstrates the ultimate fail and decline of the covetous person. There's three examples that I thought of in the Bible that easily help us to understand the demise, the destruction, the power of covetousness to crush us. First, you have Achan. Remember Achan in the Old Testament and Joshua chapter 7. This is what's interesting. Here he is brought before, his family's brought, and Joshua is coming to him and saying, man, I don't understand. Why did you do this? And Joshua 7:21, he says this, I saw. David is the other example of how covetousness can crush us. It led to adultery, to murder. In 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 2, it says this about King David. Verse 1 says, there was a time when the kings all went to war and King David did not. And in verse 2, it says that he walked out upon his deck and guess what? Looked upon. Are you seeing the trend? Achan saw. King David looked upon. I think Spurgeon was right. The worst dust is gold dust. It's that covetousness you see. Remember, the eye affecteth the heart. Yeah. Be careful. I mean, how simple. Remember us singing as little kids? Little kids here. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. How many folks are addicted to pornography around the world? I was telling the young men on Thursday, we were teaching on finances, and I was telling them that you should have an honorable way of gaining money. And just in the last week or so, there is a Canadian young person with her mom that has brought a unbelievable lawsuit, and I hope she wins a gazillion dollars. I don't even know if that's even legal, all right? But I hope she does. But she brought against the owners of Pornhub, and I just quickly looked up some things. 5 years ago, they say that something like 80 something billion views were in 1 year. 80-something billion. And then when I was looking up some research, there was articles on how you can post something and make money. Money! And it just grabs you and brings you in. And all these people, you'd say, why are they doing that? Because guess what? They can make money. And money can control us, and it can deceive us, and it cheats us of so much. And ultimately, this sin of covetousness, you say, it's not going to take me there. Talk to Achan. Achan who said, it's just a little Babylonian garment. It's just a little bit of stuff that was designated, the accursed thing, something set aside for God. Hey, he goes out, I am king. You didn't have other wives? He did at that time. But I want her. He looked upon. He saw. Another example is found in 1 Kings chapter 26 and verse 2. And this is a story of King Ahab. And he was covetous of, guess what? Naboth's vineyard. And it says this. Ahab goes to Naboth and Achan said, hey, I saw. David looked upon. Ahab said to Naboth, give me. What are you, a child? Give me. It's not yours. But you know what? That's what some of us, we don't think that it'll bring us to that place. But some of us get so grabby towards things that we're like, I want that. Be very careful when it comes to this world and wanting the things of this world. Oh, the snare of covetousness. So what's the solution for covetousness? Well, Hebrews 13 and verse 5 is one context that helps us give us a solution. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. So it uses both words in the same verse. It says, hey, I don't want you to be covetous, so I want you to be content. So what's the solution? The easy solution is learn to be content with what God has given you. A college professor once asked a group of students, he said, who is the most contented man? Is it the man with $6 million or the man with 6 children? One student said, oh, that's easy. It's the man with $6 million because which one is not contented, he said. And the student said, well, why, that's easy. It's the man with $6 million because he'd be the only one who still wants more. All right. You always will be covetous until you learn to be content. Contentment is the prescription for covetousness, and contentment in this passage is found in Christ. It's found in Christ. He's the secret of contentment. So I want to close with looking at Luke chapter 15 as our story to close with. Luke chapter 15. So what is the solution to covetousness? How do we understand it? Luke chapter 15 gives us a story of a young man who found the solution to covetousness. Because what happened? He wanted what was out in the world, and he came to his father and said, give me that which is owed me. And he took it and he went out, and the Bible says he spent it all in righteous living. But notice in Luke chapter 15, so it says, this is a certain man that had 2 sons. The younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falls. He's covetous. I want this. It's mine. Give me. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey. Look at verse 14, when he had spent all. So what does that go along with? King Solomon, Ecclesiastes 5. Hey, he that has silver, you're not going to be happy. All right. So he began to be and want. One enjoined himself. Look at verse 15. He joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. Now verse 17 and 18 gives us our first solution. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. So first of all, recognize God's provision. Recognize God's provision. Notice what he said in verse 17. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? Realize that God has all you need. He has everything you need. recognize God's provision. Be thankful for what you have in Christ then. He's not going to fail you. That's that Hebrews 13 passage. He's not going to forsake you. Be peaceful in what you have in Christ. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. A.W. Tozer said, the man who has God for his treasure has all things in one. You can be satisfied. Understand God's provision. That is the first step in a solution. If covetousness is taken over, what you have to do, and remember, these ideas that we're talking about through this year in 2021, these ideas of integrity, they go along with the 2 Peter 1 passage because we have stepped into faith. All right? That is a gift from God. But God says in our Christian life, in our sanctification, in our present process of sanctification, I need to, guess what? Add to my faith. These are aspects or disciplines of integrity. And one of the disciplines is to, I need to deny myself. And I need to understand that God, if I let my carnal nature just go, you know what I'm going to be? Covetous. It's never enough. I'll be an ungrateful person. As I talked about this morning, I'll be greedy. I'll be envious of other people. And I will be covetous. I'll never be satisfied. And when you're that way, you are not adding to your faith. You are not a person of integrity. So what does the Bible say? The solution? Recognize God's provision. Then notice secondly in verse 18, it says not only recognize God's provision, but repent of ungodly priorities. So what are they? Look at verse 18. I will arise, go to my father, will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Ungodly priorities. I thought that I deserved. Isn't that what he said? Father, give me what's owed me. Lived here and worked hard. I deserve this. So you need to repent of ungodly priorities. Because what was he saying? It was self first. Covetousness, according to Paul in Colossians 3:5, which is idolatry. Who was on the throne of this young man's life? Himself. And when you allow covetousness to come in, what happens is you set God aside, who should be rightly on the throne, taking care of your needs, and you say, no, I'm in charge now. And you move God aside. You need to repent of those ungodly priorities. Notice what he did in this repentance. He, first of all, I will rise and go to my father, will say unto him, Father, I have sinned. Admit the sin. Admit to God. God, I've been covetous. Father, I've sinned. I've done wrong. I've had wrong priorities. I thought it was all about me. And actually, as we've talked about in contentment in Revelation chapter 4, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and power. All right? Because he created all things and we were created for his pleasure. I'm here just to honor him. That's why I'm here. That's why my life is in existence. And when I set God aside and I say, man, it's me, I need to repent of those ungodly priorities, putting myself first. And then I repent, admit the sin. Notice in verse 19, and am no worthy to be called thy son. The second step in this repentance, one, admit the sin. Second, understand your place. Understand your place. You're not worthy to be a brother to Jesus. But the Bible says you can be. The Bible says I'm adopted into his family and I'm a joint heir with Christ. But I don't deserve that. Know your place. I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Isn't that understanding your place? We need to understand our place even this earth. And I touched on that a little bit this morning. That is one. This sin that we're talking about is one of the sins of our nation. And as a church, one thing that you can do when you're in a nation that is ungodly, if you study the Old Testament, it has a lot talk about what you do when you're involved in a nation, because the children of Israel were there, and you have Isaiah, and you have Jeremiah, and you have all these Old Testament prophets like Micah and Amos and Obadiah. You have all these guys that are coming on, and guess what they're doing? They're repenting for their people. Repenting and saying, God, who are we? We're unworthy. We're unworthy. And one of the sins, as I mentioned again this morning, one of the sins of our nation is that we have bred this idea in even our children that, you know what, you've been slighted. Creating an envious, greedy, ungrateful, jealous, bitter people. And that is a description of America. They are not content. They are covetous. And even when you give them something, it's not enough. You know why? Because they've never read Ecclesiastes 5. Silver will never make you happy. And actually, it is either Job or David that said what? The eyes of man are never satisfied. They're never satisfied. All right, that's why a place like Pornhub can keep going and keep going and keep going, because it never satisfies. A covetous heart will never be satisfied. A contented heart, oh, that's satisfying. So we need to what? The solution is recognize God's provision. Secondly, repent of ungodly priorities. So we see in verse 18, in that repentance, I admit my sin. Secondly, I understand my place, and that is in verse 19 and verse 20. Notice what he did. And he, what? Arose. You will never get rid of covetousness until you take action. Never. Remember Zacchaeus? What was he? Covetous, right? He was robbing and stealing from people. All right, you might say, no, he was just a thief. Being a thief is kind of covetous. Remember what I was saying? Commandment 1 and 10 are kind of together. And all the other ones in between. All right, so committing adultery, what's that? Kind of being covetous, isn't it? Killing somebody. A lot of times the killing is because you're mad about what they got. I mean, doesn't that happen a lot? Taking things, why are you taking that? Well, because they got it and I want it. What is that? Covetous. Right, even remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Why? Why? God doesn't deserve a whole day. I want it. What is that? Covetous. It's at the heart of so many things. And we have sanitized that sin to say it's not that bad. But Christ comes to us tonight and says, beware of it. Beware of covetousness. And if you're going to get rid of it, what you have to do is understand that God has promised to provide everything. He said, my God shall supply all your need. That Philippians 4 passage, guess what it's dealing with? Covetousness. Contentment comes in understanding that God can take care of my needs. But then I need to repent of ungodly priorities, admit the sin, understand my place, and I take action. The rich fall into a temptation and a snare. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Many years ago, a columnist named Jim Bishop wrote an article on people that won lotteries. Rosa Grayson of Washington won $400 a week, and that may not seem much. That's about $20,000 a year just for doing nothing, but she won it. The rest of her life, until she died, $20,000 a year, $400 a week just dropped into your account. She said that for the first time in her life, she had nervous fits. She says, everyone tries to get a hold of me and wants me to give them money. She said, people are so mean. I hope you win the lottery and see what happens to you. Wow, sounds contented. When the McGugerts of New York won the Irish sweepstakes, they were happy. Pop was a steam fitter. Johnny, 26, loaded crates on the docks. Tim was going to night school. Pop split the millions with his sons. They all said the money wouldn't change their plans or their life. A year later, the million wasn't gone, but their lives were bent out of shape. The boys would not speak to Pop or to each other. Johnny was chasing expensive racehorses. Tim was catching up with expensive girls, and Mom accused Pop of hiding the loot from her. Within 2 years, all of them were in court for non-payment of income tax. Mom said this after 2 years, it's the devil's own money. Both boys were studying hard, she said, to become alcoholics. Coveting those things that are carnal are not good for you and I. Be careful of covetousness. The Bible says there is something you should covet, though. 1 Corinthians 12 says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. Matthew 6, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek or covet. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There is something you're supposed to seek and covet after, and that is holiness. God's righteousness, not the things of this world. Colossians chapter 3, remember, we've been reading in verse 5, and that's where the Apostle Paul says to mortify some things. But earlier in the text, when he's talking about it, he says this, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. What does he say? He tells us, you need to set your things on the things above, and then do what? Kill some things. That's what mortify means. So it goes back to our Luke passage in Luke 15. When we want to repent of this sin, admit it. All right, understand your place, but you will never get rid of covetousness until you take action. What is Paul telling you to do to covetousness? Kill it. Because that carnal heart is going to want to grab and grab and grab. Heads bowed, eyes closed. And in just a moment,